One little boy asked his father, he said, "Do trees go to the bathroom?" The father said, "Where do you think we get the number two pencils from?" All right, it's a dad joke, I admit. All right. I just couldn't help myself. I just got giggling when I read that. Oh, my goodness. But anyway, you know, Pastor Jeff shared last week, 2 Corinthians 5:14, right, that the love of God compels us. The love of God compels us. And it really, you know, he's describing the powerful, spirit-filled motivation that drives followers of Christ to share the gospel in ways that persuade people to commit their lives to Christ. That's what Paul was saying, amen? This is about living our lives in such a way that other people commit their lives to Jesus Christ. So the love of God, when it starts to overwhelm, remember when you were overwhelmed by the love of God for the first time? Do you remember that day? I remember that moment so clear when you didn't cry in front of people because that was weak. And I cried like a baby in front of 500 people and didn't care. It was amazing when that love starts to wash over you. It all of a sudden changes the way that you see life, the way that you see people around you, the way that you see every situation you get into. Because when we start to fall in love with the Lord and when we realize his love for us, because he said it's from how long? Everlasting to everlasting, right? We can't stop mentioning that over each one of our lives. Because every day there's mistakes that are made, but it doesn't change the love of the Father towards us. Every day, things go sideways in our lives, but it never stops. The love of God never stops. And so we're reminded in going back to that day when everything changed and we were washed and made whole. In that moment, all of a sudden, we were compelled to live differently, compelled to speak differently, compelled to do differently, give differently, serve differently. It used to be that we served in order to get gain for our own personal selves, and now we serve so that one more might come to know Jesus Christ. Those Sunday school teachers are serving this morning so that one more of your children would hear of the love of God, see the love of God manifested through the teachers that have been praying and preparing a lesson for them, so that your children would know, every time I came to the house of God, I was loved. Every time I came in here, someone spoke the goodness of God over my life. They reminded me of who I am, and they changed the way that I see myself. Every child needs it, amen? And every adult needs it. Tell your neighbor, say, you definitely need it. So what he was talking about was the love of God. It motivates us. What motivates you? What motivates you? What makes your wheels start spinning? When you get in a conversation and all of a sudden the conversation turns to something, all of a sudden you go, and you're completely engaged. And all of a sudden you wake up and you just start talking, and it lights you on fire. And then eventually you just take over the conversation because you're so excited. It's in your wheelhouse and you can't help it. Just me? What causes us to be consumed to the point that nothing else can steal our heart or distract us? Is there something else that's stealing our hearts? For Paul, who was proclaiming Jesus as Lord for the salvation of souls and filling them with the Holy Ghost to accomplish all that the Lord had sent them to do. See, one thing compelled Paul. The love of God compelled him to do one thing, win souls, establish churches, preach the word of God. That's what the love did. That love hasn't changed. And when we're in love with God, those same things happen in our lives. Isn't it easy to see, and I'll look at the camera, isn't it easy to see people in love with God? Isn't it easy to tell how in love God with God people are? 7 people have discernment in this house. I have failed. It's easy to see. See, when you fall in love with God, you get crazy ideas. I'm going to go visit my daughter in Kyrgyzstan. You got problems when you do stuff like that, you know? And that means you're just in love with God and you don't care and you realize the world is your playground. Isn't the world your playground? The whole world, though. Haven't you seen enough of Columbia County? I know every crack in those dirty sidewalks of Hudson. Ba-boom, boom. How about we go see some other places? How about the love of God starts to stir us up and compel us to go and serve somewhere else in the world? Anywhere. Everywhere. That's what happens when we fall in love. Amen? You know, when the Holy Spirit is mentioned, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit for the next 4 weeks. Now, different people have different reactions when you say that. Some people go, oh dear, that's one of these churches. Oh, why did we come this Sunday? It's what some people do. Some that don't understand. Some that are afraid. Suppose the Holy Spirit moves today. Oh, and people just start falling out. And then there's a guy, he's videoing. People are going to know we were at that church. But isn't that how some people respond to the Holy Ghost? Because they're afraid, but they don't understand it. You know, and so then we have the other ones who are like, yes! Finally, you heard from God! Can we just talk about him all year long? Just get the band up here quick. Oh, we got to wind it up again. And it is the different reactions that you get, isn't it? Because you have people on both ends. Listen, I believe we should talk about the Holy Spirit all year. If he's supposed to be the guide, and he's supposed to be the teacher, and he is, then why not talk about him? You know, Tozer said, the idea of the Holy Spirit to the average church member, tell your neighbor, say, I'm not average. But the idea of the Holy Spirit to the average church member is so vague as to be non-existent. I'm going to read that again. The idea of the Holy Spirit to the average church member is so vague as to be non-existent. And I would imagine that in every church in America, to a certain degree, there's people that have a vague idea of the Holy Spirit, no matter how much it's preached. Because some people put that subject to the side because I can't grasp it. It's amazing how we grasp salvation. That by believing, all my sins are washed away. Oh, I got that one. That one's easy. Right? But he wants to give you the Holy Spirit. He wants you speaking in tongues. I don't know what that means. That's just not for me, brother. And I believe that it is for every single one of us. Unless you're a cessationist. Right? Now, a cessationist, they're the ones, the word cessationist, it comes from cease, the word cease. And they said that the gifts and all that stopped with the apostles, with the last apostle. So there's no more, now that the written word is there, there's no reason to have the gift of tongues to interpret the word of God. There's no reason for healing. That all comes through the word of God. If you're a cessationist, you believe that the supernatural ended with the last apostle. The hard part is figuring out who's the last apostle. Because there was many more besides 12. And the scripture is quite clear on that. So, if you're a cessationist, that means you stay away from it. And I can't guarantee you there's a lot of churches that are worshiping this morning that are cessationists in their thought process. I don't know about you, but I don't think prophecy is over yet. Right? Prophecy. Speaking in tongues is a sign to who? The unbeliever. Are there any unbelievers out there? There's a whole world full of them. I think we still need it. Anybody here ever been healed? I know I have. Yeah, I'm encouraged that God still heals today. I believe he's a healer to everyone who believes. That's his desire. So needless to say, I'm not a cessationist. Unfortunately for many churches, sadly, it's true that they stay away from the miraculous because it's scary, because they can't explain it, because they can't produce it, they can't quantify it. It's hard to quantify an incomprehensible God. So we're going to have to take him at his word. And when we stand on his word, everything starts to change. Tell your neighbor, say, you look different because of his word. You do. Let me tell you something. You weren't very good looking before you got saved. I just want you to know. That darkness, that ugly was all over each and every one of us. And then Jesus came and set us free. Amen? There's nowhere in the scriptures that says that the gifts are not for today. Says one day they won't be needed. We won't need to prophesy when Jesus comes back, because he'll be with us. And we're just going to worship. We won't need to preach when Jesus comes back. We're just going to want to worship. Amen? Because we're going to have the preacher with us, in front of us, standing before us. But I believe the teacher is still going to be teaching us. I think there's a whole lot more to God than just a week or two of seminary when we get to heaven. I think God's a little deeper than that. Mine is. You know, there are some who are also, like we said, sensationalists. And it has to be wound up. It has to be wild and crazy. There's got to be yelling and screaming when it comes to the Holy Ghost. Right? And we've got to have louder and louder and louder music. And then everything has to happen. And they've got to try to get it to a frenzy in order for the Holy Ghost to move. And I think that there's exaggerations on both ends. I think that there's issues on both ends. Because I don't think that the Holy Spirit, that when we have the Holy Spirit, that we have to yell and scream. Unless you're fighting off devils. You know? But even when the devil's screaming in your face, like that guy the one time when me and my wife were, oh, by the way. Happy anniversary. Today. Today's 35 years to the most wonderful wife on the entire planet. I'm telling you. I understand grace. I didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve her at all. And God was so good to me. And that was all because I had a praying mama. That's the only reason. No, I didn't lose my train of thought. I just lost control of my emotions. Because she still takes my breath away. One of our songs we always sing to at every wedding is, "You're Still the One." And she is. Yeah. Enough of that silly stuff. Let's get on to that. I got to get my emotions under control somehow. I just. Thank you. See, it's the love of God that compels us. And when that love overwhelms us, it's hard to stop and it's hard to control. Yeah. So thanks, hon, for sticking with me. I appreciate you. You know, the beautiful gift of the Holy Spirit is cast aside by so many because they refuse to read, study, and enjoy him and to understand him. The Holy Spirit is a person. Yes, he's known as wind and where he's described as wind and fire and breath in the scriptures, but he's a person. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's a person. He walks with you. He lives on the inside of you. Many people say, oh, that's a little bit too out there for me to grasp. Well, God is beyond our grasp. Can we say amen? Because if I can figure out God, I might as well just be God.
That's right.
Right? Yeah. If I can figure it all out, I might just as well be God. But because I can't, and I know that we're going to be learning for an eternity just who he is, that I want to serve him with all of my heart. You know, the Spirit of God is from the beginning of Scripture to the end, right? We read in Genesis chapter 1 and the second verse where it says that the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Amen? And then we look in, what is Revelation chapter 22 and verse 16? Is that what it was? Oh, 17. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Ah. So from Genesis to Revelation, the Spirit of God is spoken about. It's taught about. He's recognized. He's worshiped. He is God. As we look at the Scriptures, we're going to see this. And I believe that the reason why the church isn't walking in the full power of God is because they're not teaching on the Holy Ghost. It's the power of God. Now, some only want the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I want that power, right? Acts chapter 2. And they were filled with power. I want that power. That's not what it's about. That's where man gets confused. It's about his presence. It's about the presence of God and walking with the Holy Ghost. And when we understand who he is and we walk with him according to his word, then there's an overflow of who he is in us in order to change other people's lives. Amen? But so many times people, right, what is it out there today? What do they want to do? I don't want to work, but I want to get a good paycheck. Yeah. Right? I want to sit home and Uncle Sam, hey, pay me. How to destroy a country 101. Genius is in charge. But how has the church treated the Holy Ghost like that sometimes? Just give me the power. I want to get baptized in the Holy Spirit because then I, no. When you get baptized in the Holy Spirit so that he can lead. Yes. Baptized in the Holy Spirit so he can guide. Baptized in the Holy Spirit so the comforter, he's going to walk with me through every situation. One of the sisters said her daughter's father-in-law fell off a roof, 65 years old, and died yesterday. We need the comforter in those situations, amen? To guide us through. Why? Because even in death, God allows his light to shine. Can't tell you how many people have led to Christ at funerals. Why? Because we don't grieve as those who have no hope. We have great hope. And then the Holy Ghost comes along and he strengthens us in those times of need so we don't act like the world. We don't walk awry. We're not overwhelmed with emotions because we think that's the end. I think Kia said it today in her prophetic word that though you die, yet shall you live. So we never die. Isn't that wonderful? To be absent in the body is present with the Lord. That's some powerful words. So what have you got to lose? Nothing. Nothing. No matter where you go. That's a dark part of Hudson. There is no dark part in Hudson. I've walked every street there is. I've been in different houses. Broke up fights. There's no dark places in Hudson. Not when I walk in, because my God goes before me, and he's already there, so therefore I'm not afraid no matter what happens. And everywhere we walk, when we're called by God, we're going there to share the love of God. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't understand. Those guys are crazy on drugs. They're crazy in the house of God too. Right? Look what's going on in some of the churches in America and around the world. Crazy stuff. But we've been called. See, when we're led by the Spirit of God, then fear no longer has dominion over us. See, that spirit gets driven out and a right spirit comes in. Amen? Therefore, fear no longer controls and consumes us. Why? Because I know I'm entrusting my life and my future to the leading of the Holy Ghost according to the Word of God. Genesis 1, when it says that Spirit of God was hovering over the earth, it's that Hebrew word, ruach. and it means breath or wind or spirit. And we have Ruach Elohim, it's mentioned in the first few verses of Genesis also, to describe the Spirit of God hovering over the waters. It's also translated Ruach Adonai, or the Spirit of the Lord. And then in the New Testament, the Greek word for pneuma, which is the Holy Spirit, where we get pneumatic tools from, or the air that runs in pneumatic tools. That's where that word comes from, is a Greek word. And that means spirit. In John 14:16-13, it says, I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may, or 30-31, sorry. I better put my glasses on. John 14:16-31, let's read that. Because I don't believe there's anything more powerful in this room than the Word of God, spoken under the authority of the Holy Spirit. Just speaking his word and change starts to come. So get ready to be changed by the reading of his word. Amen? He said, I will ask the Father and he'll give you another helper that he may be with you. How long? How long? You don't want the Holy Spirit, but God gave you as a gift forever. That means he's going to be with you in eternity. That means he's going to be teaching and guiding you in eternity. And people don't want the Holy Ghost? Wow. Tell your neighbor, say, I want him. Amen. I got him. Listen, the Holy Spirit's the one that sticks around when everybody else leaves. Anybody here ever have a struggle in their marriage? It's our anniversary. You're too kind to me, love. And even when the thoughts in the mind go sideways, the Holy Spirit always comes and he says, hang on a second. I'm with you forever, baby. I'm in this for the good, the bad, and the pathetic. You know what that pathetic is? When we deny the power of the Word of God in a situation. That's pathetic to a believer. Brother, you don't understand. You don't understand my situation. Your situation has been experienced by hundreds of millions of other people. Because the scripture said there's nothing new under the sun. Can we all agree on that? Right. So when the Holy Spirit comes, he said, listen, I'm going to be with you forever. I'm going to stick around with you. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit on you. Isn't that good news? Man, maybe you've had people that have quit on you in the past. Maybe you've got friends that have disowned you or didn't want to be around you anymore. Maybe you went through a tumultuous situation. Maybe you went through a divorce. Maybe, you know, as we go over there and stand and pray, maybe you've been through an abortion. Maybe you've been through, whatever the situations are. I want you to know the Holy Spirit still wants the leading guide. He still wants to be the one that sticks closer than anyone else in your life. See, we put up walls and we say, oh, he wouldn't want me. Don't put words in his mouth. Don't put words in his mouth. You simply receive what the scripture says God has given to everyone who believes. Not to everyone who is perfect. Anybody in here perfect? Some honest people for a change. I like it. He's the one that sticks around forever. Forever. You stumble and fall. He says, oh, no, I'm still here. You did it again. You said the same silly thing again that started the trouble just like the last 43,000 times. But I'm not going anywhere. I'm still going to walk with you. I'm still going to keep telling you, wait a minute, let's not go. You did it again. But I'm not going anywhere because we're going to get this eventually. You ever teach your kid how to ride a bike? It's exhausting. I hate running long distances. So I usually gave up after about 50 feet and let them crash. They're going to have to learn, right? We learn from crashing. Thank God the Holy Spirit, he doesn't give up so quickly. Thank God for that he keeps working with you. He never stops. He doesn't give up on you. He hasn't given up on you. Think about it. I don't know where you're at right now in your life. He has not given up. And you know what he says every time? You are who the Father says you are. You can do what the Father says you can do. That's it. We get outside of there and he says, stop it. Please. You said it again. You thought it again. Take that thought captive. No. Why did you just spend the last 4 hours having a pity party? Why did you spend the last 4 hours digging up yesterday, dwelling? How come you're so mad at four people that you haven't seen in 3 days? The Holy Spirit says, hang on. We're going to draw you back in, and we're going to agree with what the Word of God says. He said, I'll never leave you. Verse 17, that is the Spirit of truth. Oh, if we could bottle that, send that to D.C. That is the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. He rests on us and lives in us. Verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Maybe you feel like an orphan this morning. Just stop it. Because you are not an orphan. You are not all by yourself. You are not dejected from God. You are not cast to the side. You are not left with nothing. You are not the least of these. You are a child of God, and the Holy Spirit said, I love you, and I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to empower you. We're going to overcome every adversity in your life together. That's what he's going to do. We might be on this 6 or 8 weeks. I don't know. See, there's some things the Holy Spirit never does. He never leads you into bondage. So you walk into bondage, like, guess what? You're leading. Yeah, some of my leadership has been sad for my life. Going into bondage in the mind. Thoughts, even words coming out of our mouths, speaking the things contrary to the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is never going to lead you into bondage, ever. He'll never lead you in the spear. He'll give you a spear, but he won't lead you into spear. He'll never lead you into fear. Isn't that amazing? Whenever fear comes on you, you know it's not the Holy Ghost. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But he's not going to lead you into fear. He's not going to cause you to be afraid no matter what comes. He's going to say, I'm with you. I go before you. We got a plan. It's bigger than what you think because your ways are not my ways and your thoughts are not my thoughts. So stop fearing and let's rise up in faith because he's got a plan for each and every one of you. And it is spectacular. Some people don't want to listen to the Holy Ghost and they wonder why they don't live a spectacular life. What kind of a life are you living? Miss Catherine's living an amazing life. 87 years old and loving the Lord every single day. 89. Ah, what's a couple of years? 89 years old, walks a prayer every Wednesday. Wind, rain, sleet, and snow. Miss Catherine's going to be there. She said, no, I just got, God got me up and I got to give him glory. I don't walk as fast as I used to, but he gave me breath, and I got to tell him how wonderful he is. I've got to be in prayer, living a victorious life through the power of the Holy Ghost. 89 years old, not giving up, not quitting, not stopping. Buried a lot of her family members, still trusting in God to save all the rest of them that are alive. Still believing God for deliverance of her great-great-grandbabies. See, that's what happens when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you. You don't quit. You don't give up. We don't say, You see, church? Well, it ain't close to Christmas. It ain't close to Easter. We're good. See, because when the Holy Spirit grabs a hold of you, then there's no place else you want to be. I don't know about you, but there's no place I want to be. I remember when I got saved, and we moved back to New York. I moved. Bren came up, but she went back to Mississippi. She didn't leave me. We weren't married yet. She had to go home until we got married. But the only thing I wanted to do was serve in the church. The only thing I wanted to do was be around men and women of God that were strong in the Lord. Because I walked in darkness. I already knew that, how that tasted. I threw that up so many stinking times, it was disgusting. I already knew all the bad thoughts and dreams and all the pathetic lifestyle that I was living. I didn't want anything to do with that again. So if I didn't want nothing to do with that, and everybody that I ran with was running in that direction, and God was over here running this direction with a whole bunch of men and women, I wanted to run with them. And I want to encourage you that if you're weak, get with those that have been running strong for a while. You want to change? Get with those who have been changed. Right? You don't run with those that are walking in darkness. Oh, they're going to agree with you when you have a bad day. They'll agree with you. I won't. I'm not going to agree with you if you have a bad day. I'm going to say, all right, what did we learn from that? What did the Holy Ghost tell you before you got in the middle of that situation? How do we grab a hold of the Word of God and now lead you out of that darkness? Not sit there and hold your hand, oh, I'm sorry, it's so hard. I know. Poor you. You're so much different than everybody else. It's just you against the world. I know you should feel that way. You have every right to act like a knucklehead. You've got a right to act like a child of God. You've got a right to agree with what His Word has said. There's times to feel sad. We're not arguing that. There's times to mourn. There is. It's just not for the rest of your life. I know people have lost loved ones that never recuperated from it, that knew the Lord. There's one lady that lost her son, and she goes to every funeral that there is. Because she said, well, the Bible says to mourn with those who mourn. Because she can't get past the loss of one of her children. So she just hangs out in the funeral home, every funeral that's around there. That's not the victory that Jesus Christ gave us. It's not what He did. He said, I've got more for you. Listen, when loss comes and it hurts. It hurts. But that's why it's so imperative for us to walk in the Spirit. Because if they know Jesus Christ, they don't die.
Amen.
Therefore, then we don't grieve as those with no hope. Tom just lost his mom not long ago. Takes a while sometimes to get through that. And you never get over it, I don't think. Because she's always mom. So far, right, Tom? She's still mom? Okay. She'll never stop being mom. But to get through that phase where all the thoughts and all the ideas, I remember my wife lost her mom and her dad, and her sister, and her nephew at 44 years old. Yeah, there's seasons that you walk through. It was over years, but when you lose them and they know Jesus Christ, let me tell you something, you start to celebrate on the inside. That's what happens is you start to agree. It hurts. But eventually, okay, but they knew Jesus Christ. That's what we have to stand on. See, when they know, what about those that don't? See, that's where you come in. But if we're afraid, if we have that spirit of fear on us, we're not going to tell them about Jesus Christ. Right? We're going to draw back. But the Holy Ghost, He said, no, I've got a job for you. It's a plan. I got a plan for you. It's the same one that Paul had. Are you ready to walk through some of the things that Paul walked through? Can I tell you, you're going to need the Holy Ghost. The season that we're coming in America and around the world, you're going to want the Holy Ghost. You're going to want that power. He never agrees with your failure.
Amen.
He doesn't agree with you when you say you're a failure because God created you. Because the only thing He sees is the victory. The only thing He knows is victory. He doesn't know failure or defeat. That's good news to let Him lead. Amen. He doesn't agree with your condemnation of yourself or any other thought that produces lack. Verse 19, It says, after a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live and you will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and he will disclose myself to him. Judas said, Lord, when that has happened, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not love my words. And the word which you hear is not of mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you what? What's he going to teach you? What? All right. He didn't leave anything out there, did he? And bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Thank God we have the Holy Ghost to bring things back to our remembrance. Because that memory stuff gets harder as you get older, you know what? But then the Holy Ghost, he just brings it back when you need it. When you're on the street, you start witnessing, talking to people, sharing the love of God with people, and all of a sudden, boom, 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 boom. Those scriptures you've been reading for years, he just starts spitting them out one after another. It's amazing, but it takes an act of faith. That'll stir that up inside of each one of us. Verse 27 says, the peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Jesus bragging on his dad. Isn't that incredible? Oh, you guys, you should be happy I'm going to the Father because he's incredible. There's nothing lacking in him. You have an idea where I'm going? Jesus was so in love. He understood he wanted nothing more than to be with the Father. He says, guys, if you knew where I was going, man, you'd be excited for me. You'd be really excited because you don't know what's waiting for you. You don't know what's coming. I know what's coming. And I want to go be with the Father. So you guys should get excited for me. Because guess what? I'm excited for you because one day you're going to stand before him too. He just bragging on his dad. Can I encourage you guys? Go brag on your dads. Now I've told you before it happens so that when it happens, you may what? Believe. Turn over to John 16, 6 through 15. We're going to read that quick. Ooh, and we're out of time. It says, but because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning righteousness and judgment, concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. Who's been judged? Who's been judged? All right. He's already been judged. Your judgment is said that you're innocent from now on. Amen? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, you're innocent. Yeah. You're innocent. You're innocent. Jesus, he already judged the enemy. He already knows his fate. Do you know your fate? Yeah, I know my fate. No, I don't even know where it was. Oh, verse 12. It says, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into what? All truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative. Can I just tell you, that's the one we need to sit on for about 6 months. That we do not speak of our own initiative. We don't say what we think. We don't say what we want. We don't have the freedom. I couldn't help myself. that part of you isn't dead yet. Because when the Holy Spirit leads us, he brings life. That even the truth in love, he brings it. But whatever he hears, he will speak and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. Is there anything the Holy Spirit can't bring to you? No, because Jesus said, all things are mine, and I'm giving them all to the Holy Ghost, and he's giving them all to you. Isn't that good news? There's nothing lacking in you. Tell your neighbor, say, I lack no good thing. Yeah. You don't lack. TV says you lack. The mall says you lack. Every billboard says you lack. Maybe your family or maybe your friends say you lack. You don't have what they have. Can I tell you, you got more than they've got. You got a whole lot more. That house don't mean spit. Car don't mean nothing. You might be on horseback before if these guys keep up. And then, oh, I got a Palomino. Oh, I got a quarter horse. That'll be the next way that the enemy tries to bring division. And I want you to know the Holy Ghost has got a purpose and a plan. God sent him for each and every one of us to walk in the fullness of Christ. You're not going to walk in the fullness of God's power without the Holy Ghost. You cannot deny him because you're denying the word of God. Amen? Let's not deny the word. Let's stand on the word. Let's agree with the word. And let's walk in the word all the days of our lives. And if it's in the scriptures, I want it. And the Holy Ghost is from Genesis to Revelation. Amen? He's going to be there. And the Holy Spirit says, come. Come. Let's stand up this morning. Now we're on page 3. It's one of the most wonderful topics that there is in the scripture. One of the most powerful topics. There's nothing more powerful than the blood of Jesus Christ, because that washes away our sin. But then when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, everything starts to change. I remember the day that I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. I was sitting in this little cottage that we lived in. It was tiny, the cottage we lived in, because I was a genius before I got saved. You could sit on the toilet, put your feet in the shower, and wash your hands in the sink all at the same time. This place was big. Easy to clean, my wife said. See, she always finds something good out of it, right? Didn't cost me anything, though, either. Had to pay no rent. I just had to mow the lawn and take care of the plumbing. Said, that's good, because I was broke. And I have no idea why baptism and the Holy Ghost, right? When I look at you, I just lose. I forget where I am, baby. But we were in that little cottage. My mom and Kathy was there and a couple other ladies. We were sitting there and they said, you need to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. I said, well, all right. It's what mom said to do, right? So they laid hands on me and prayed. I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Started speaking in tongues. I offended a lot of people after that. Because all I did was run around and tell them, look, you're all going to hell if you don't know Jesus Christ. You know, when you first got saved, you were so hungry and it was so brand new and you just wanted everybody to grab a hold of it and get cleansed through the washing of ourselves in the Word of God and then water baptism, right? And then baptism in the Holy Ghost and you were just, I just want everybody to experience what I'm just experiencing and, you know, you got to do it because otherwise you're going to hell. And they said, what is wrong with you? And I didn't understand at the time. Now they still struggle with me, but I calm down a little bit in the way that we present it. But I want to encourage you. If you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, you're going to need it. But you have to come back next week. Because we're not doing it today. You need to pray about it. Listen, I don't have to give it to you. That's God. If you want it, you can ask him. I know a lot of people got baptized in the Holy Spirit in the prayer closet. You have a prayer closet. Maybe we should start there. These gifts are from God. They're not from man. Amen? They're from God. He said, if you're hungry, I'll feed you. I'll give you everything my word says you can have. And I'll hold nothing back from you. Nothing. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the body of Christ today. Lord, I thank you for my family. Lord, I pray a blessing upon my wife today. Lord, that as we walk out of here, starting another year, a year of blessing, a year of expectation, a year of joy. Lord, a year of serving, a year of just looking to you, Father. Knit our hearts with yours even more, because when we're knit with you, then we become even more knit with one another. And Father, for my family that's represented here, I pray your blessing upon each and every one, that every marriage stays strong in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, that the word of God comes out morning, noon, and night in every house here. For there's nothing greater that we can put before our eyes than the power of your word. Father, I thank you that every marriage right now, we rebuke the devourer in Jesus' name. Lord, for those that have been struggling, for those that have been thinking wrong thoughts, and Lord, even mistakes that have been made, Lord, that the mind would start to align with the word of God and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve him. So Father, we thank you for the setting free. Devil, get out. You have no authority over those lives. And Lord, I pray that each marriage would grab a hold of every scripture that speaks of how we are to treat one another. We would draw from those words. We would live out those words, that the whole world would see our Father being glorified whenever we walk down the street together. That our children would see our God glorified by the way that we love one another. Father, for those that are single in here, Paul said, oh, I wish that you were all like me. I wish that you would just have nothing else, no one to distract you, that you wouldn't give yourself to anybody else, but just to the Father and preach the word of God. Father, we pray for a strength in those that are single right now. Father, for a hunger to press into prayer and into your word, and then a desire to step out in great faith. Father, that their rooms, their apartments would be filled with men and women coming to know Jesus Christ, because they only had one love in their lives. For each of the babies that are represented here, Lord, we're so thankful that every curse is broken off of them in the name of Jesus Christ. And they truly are free indeed, right now, right here. Father, we thank you for the gift that you put in them already. Help us to stir that up, Lord, to nurture that, so that even at a young age, they start to express that gift and people say, where did that come from? And we can simply tell them it came from the throne room of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Father, I thank you that every one of our needs are met here in that body of Christ. No matter what they're screaming from the television, Father, we know that our faith and our trust is in you and you alone. Father, I thank you that you're stirring up our hearts to serve you. In the house, outside of the house, in places we've never even dreamed of, that you're stirring us up to faith and good works. Thank you for the good works, oh God, for the lives of men and women that are being transformed this week because of the word of God that's been invested in each one of your sons and daughters, knowing that they're walking according to the power of God, not the power of the flesh, where we don't fight against our flesh and blood, but we fight against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Father, as we walk out, we know that your light goes before us. Therefore, we have the victory already. And Lord, we look forward to the lives that are going to be changed because of mighty men and women of God that are being birthed into the streets of the Twin Counties and the surrounding areas. Father, we look forward to the men and women coming and sitting next to them and say, my life was changed because somebody loved me enough to tell me about Jesus Christ. So Father, as we leave today, I thank you for direction, for understanding. You said in all of your getting, get understanding. For wisdom, you said if we ask, you'll give it to us liberally. For words of knowledge, that when we walk into a situation, we already understand. We know what the need is in the heart before they even open their mouths. I thank you, Father, for the dreams and visions that are coming into the body of Christ in a greater way. Lord, that many more would start to dream and have visions and start to write them down. And then start to plan and tarry and carry out that plan that you have written on their hearts. And Father, we thank you for birthing, vision in every heart in this house. Lord, we release each one to do the will of the Father. Proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. Heal the sick, cast out demons, and raise the dead. And we give you all the glory for the victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.